إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah we'll start a series today on the family, what the family is and the different roles of the family. There is a major, and by all descriptions, a catastrophic change in the way human beings lived, which happened with the Industrial Revolution. Industrial Revolution is the period which is between 1760 and 1820 to 1840, which is when machineries came to being and started in Britain and then it went into the US and manufacturing on a large scale started, and that's what came to be known as the Industrial Revolution. Now, with the Industrial Revolution, there were some major and, as I said, catastrophic changes. Not everyone will call them catastrophic, but I do, and I'll tell you why. Major changes that happened in social values, in how people used to live and how they then changed their lifestyles, and then over the time, we have what we have. There are three major changes that happened thanks to the Industrial Revolution. One is that the time of day changed. In the old agrarian agricultural societies, and that happens still today, wherever they exist, the day began when the sun rose. And the day ended when the sun set. But in industrial societies, the day begins at the beginning of the shift. And the day ends when the shift ends. So the day can begin at 8 a.m. The day can begin at 2 p.m. The day can begin at 10 p.m. So whenever the shift begins, that's when the day begins. And whenever the shift ends, the day ends. And you can see that even today, people, for example, working in the IT and ITES companies, all the call centers, they work all night and they sleep all day. So the day is night and night is day. So this is one change which happened, which is the time of day change. The second major change that happened was that the roles in the family changed. In the agrarian societies, agricultural societies, the father was the head of the family and the father was also the teacher of the family, especially of the boys, and they learned their life skills from their father. They learned how to plow the field, they learned the times of changes of seasons, they learned when to plant the seed and so on and so forth. They learned how to deal with people. They went with the father to the market. They learned and they saw how he interacted with different suppliers and so forth. And then they learned all their life skills from the father. The mother was the leader in the home. And especially the girls, they learned their life skills of how to keep a home, how to maintain a home, how to run a home from the mother. They learned budgeting, they learned cooking, they learned making clothes. They learned all kinds of skills from the mother. They learned nurturing, they learned upbringing of children, they learned how to deliver babies, all kinds of stuff. They learned from the mother, including in many cases medicinal skills, because the women used to go and collect plants and so on and so forth, and they knew what kind of medicines to give for what and so forth, and all this they learned from mother. So the parents had a very serious role with regard to the actual existence of the children. The children from day one realized that we owe our survival to these parents. And on a day-to-day basis, every single day, the father was the sheikh of the house. The children learned to pray behind the father. He was the imam. The father taught them Quran. The mother taught them Quran. The father and mother taught them the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They taught them their religion. The parents taught them their culture. And in big joint families, of course, I am talking about the parents and children, because that is the basic unit, but in a bigger joint family, you had multiples of that unit. So you had the uncles and the, in the uncles you had the older ones and the younger ones, and then you had the grandparents, and they all lived together, and the same roles continued, which is that the children got their knowledge, both of religion, as well as how to interact in society, as well as knowledge of how to live their lives, including earn their living from the parent or a parent-like figure who would be the uncle, who would be the grandfather and so on. So, second role, first role that changed is the time of day. Second role which changed was the role of parents. Now, this is the what I explained to you is the agrarian agricultural society model. In the industrial society, the father became the source of money alone. The children learned nothing from the father because the father was gone. He went to the factory and the children never saw him. In an agricultural society, the children saw the father actually working. And they saw how the work contributed to an income. They saw the father tilling the field. They knew what. You ask a child of a farmer, he will tell you exactly what his father does. You ask the child of a industrial worker, you ask today, you ask your own children. I can bet you that, you know, we have a lot of professionals here. I can bet you your child does not have absolutely a fig of information about what you actually do. They have no clue. Absolutely zero. They have more than likely, they have never seen the inside of your office. And that's exactly what happened in the industrial society. Children were not allowed inside the factories. So they had no clue what the father did. Now, obviously, when you don't know what the father did, you cannot appreciate what the father does. So, as far as they are concerned, the father was a source of money. So, I sometimes, as I say, jokingly, in today's society, the father is the ATM machine, the mother is the card. So, as long as the father keeps producing the money, that's fine. So, the only use of the father is money. The day the father can't give the money, therefore, the father has no value, zero value, because I learned nothing from him. I don't know what he does. So, my value for him is, as long as I can get something out of him, I can't get something out of him, salaam alaikum. And that's why we have abuse of the elderly. And believe me, abuse does not mean that you have to beat the father. Abuse just means lack of respect, whether it is shown directly or indirectly. Sidetracked, no longer part of decision making. Nobody ever goes to the father to ask for anything. No one ever asks the father permission to do anything. No one even bothers. Older children do not even bother to tell the father where they are going and when they will come home. Nothing. He is there. Okay, one body is there. And he's, you know, as long as he's getting his food, he should be happy. This happened to the father. Same thing happened to the mother. Mother, again, became just a means of providing food on the table. So, as long as the food is cooked and put on the table, khalas, that's the use of the mother. So, the mother can slog the whole life, but there's no actual appreciation. The mother is not a teacher anymore. The mother is not anything. It's just, you know, house has to run. The children will feel the mother missing if the house doesn't run. And this is the special curse of wealthy people, because you have servants to take care of that role also. So, even if the mother dies, doesn't matter, because the food will still be on the table on time, because the cook is not dead. And somebody is cleaning the house, house will still be clean, because the servants are not dead. Mother died, so what? Change in how society was organized. Third crucial and critical change that happened was where the children learnt their knowledge from. As I mentioned, part of this was the children learnt their knowledge, including the knowledge of their manners, including the knowledge of their religion, including the knowledge of their culture, from the parents, from the extended family. In the industrial society, they learnt it in the school. So, schools took on the role of nurturing of children. Now, the problem with that is that the person teaching that knowledge is not necessarily of your religion, is not necessarily of your culture, does not necessarily have your values. The teacher, a professional teacher who gets a salary, and that teacher's class, you get 30, 40, 50, 60 students, whatever the case might be, from multiple cultures, multiple religions, multiple societal frameworks, and this teacher teaches whatever he or she thinks is important. There is no parental supervision of what the teacher actually teaches and does not teach. So the children now go to the school and they come back, and after a few years you can't recognize your own children. You say, this is my child? I mean, how did my child become like this? He became like that because you paid for it. He went to the school which you are paying for. So the where they got their knowledge from changed. And that's why also, if you see, that's how the whole structure of society got changed. And that's what we have today. We have today the byproduct of the industrial society and how social change happened because of the industrial revolution. And as I said, we are looking at something which started, and obviously these things don't start on an exact date. So I'm giving you the broad framework, 1760 to 1820, 1840. And today we are in 2015. So you're looking at 200 plus years. And it's 200 plus years of conditioning and so on and so forth. Final point I want to make, and then tomorrow and so forth we'll continue with this, is clothing changed. The concept of haya changed. The concept of what is okay to dress and not to dress changed. And believe it or not, it has nothing whatsoever to do with being modern. It has nothing to do with women's liberation. It has nothing to do with any of that. All of this is fluff. It has to do with what is safe to wear when you are working next to a machine. When you are working next to a machine, a long flowing skirt is a hazard. Tight jeans is safe. When you are working next to a machine, having your head covered and having overall robe over your body is not safe. You'll get stuck in the machine, you get pulled into the machine, you get chopped. Not having any of that is safe. In a factory, when you come inside and go outside, the more voluminous clothes you wear, the more chances of pilferage, of stealing something, putting it somewhere. But you are waiting, when you're wearing clothes which where you can practically see the body, you can't steal. That is what drove fashion. The rest of it is fluff. They can't tell you that, so they tell you some other story. And you believe that. If you look at women's clothes in Europe pre-1760, you will have difficulty understanding whether these women are Muslim or not Muslim. Because they wore hijab, they had their heads covered, they wore long body covering clothes, full sleeves, just like Muslim women, there's no difference. There's a very interesting picture of the king of Austria with his wife, the queen, not Muslim at all, either of them, walking down the street in a procession, and the woman is wearing a burqa with a niqab. King of Prussia, of Austria. So, I mean, I'm saying they're exceptions, but point being that this also drove fashion of how people dressed, what was okay. It became okay for women to come out of the house and work in the factories, because this is where they needed. That's how social models changed. That's how schools came about. Why did the school come? Because there was no one to take care of the children. Why was there no one to take care of the children? Because factories needed workers. And for the factory, just to have the men working in the factory, which was initially the case, then they said the factory now needs more workers. Where are the workers? So you have 50% of the population sitting at home, which is the adult women. Get them out to the factory. How do you get them out to the factory? Change the thinking. Number one, role of mothering is not important. Find your subsistence, find your fulfillment in the workplace. What to do with the children? Send them to school. So daycare center, once they grow older, nursery. From the nursery, send them to school. Let somebody, when you have parenting, you have one mother to look after maybe one child, maybe two children, maybe three children. But when you have a school, you have one adult to look after 60 children. Makes economic sense. So you're freed up maybe 20 or 30 women to work in the factory, and all you are paying for is one man or woman to look after 60 children. Makes economic sense. The fact that it destroys the family, who cares? So they changed mothering to schooling, and the school therefore became the custodian of parenting without any contract to this matter, without any understanding of what parenting is. The teacher never took on this job, but was given the job. So they got the women into the workplace. And that's where the women were told this, the brainwashing, to say, this is where you will find your fulfillment. Not in bringing up another completely new generation, not in creating global leaders for the next generation, but in answering phone calls in a call center. This is the logic that is being portrayed till today, 200 years later. Inshallah, tomorrow, day after, we'll talk about this more. But for the moment, let's give it some thought and say, your family, where is it grounded? Is it, are you in the post-industrial revolution or pre-industrial revolution? Don't think it's backward or forward. It is to, in today's world, you really want happiness, you have to go back far more backward than 200 years. You got to go back 1400 years. And that's, as far as our Islamic system is concerned, the further back you go, the better off you are. Because that's where the first generation comes from. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the realities of what we face in this life and to give us the skills to deal with them, in order to at least minimum, in order not to become victims of what is happening. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.